Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. Brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount, as always, on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan with you, with Michael and with Rob on the weekly show. TSB Plus, by the way, quick reminder, you can get extra videos and podcasts every single week. This week, half an hour of bonus material from Alan Sutton. You may have seen the two-parter that we did on your feed. Talk for ages. Had a great time just finding out about Wilco and the transition into George Graham. Never quite got far enough down the road, did we?
We'll get him back. Yeah. There was a lot more to come.
There is, and we got a bonus half hour of material, which you can find on the TSB Plus feed. We got the inside story of what happened with Thomas Skouravi, which is one of those fabled pre-Thomas Brolin 1990 signings. There was a lot of mythology built up around that, about potential injuries and gangsters and stuff like that, and Sutty clears it all up for us on that. And kicking off this week as well, Propaganda Extra, the bonus bits of propaganda that we didn't have time to accommodate on the main show. Make it over into a little bonus show there. So check that one out. thesquareball.net/plus for details. Part one of the show then is where we go through the latest Leeds United news, and the big headline news from the last week is Adam Forshaw's injury, out for the rest of the season. Fractured his kneecap in training, which sounds quite painful. You have dicky knees, don't you? So talk us through it.
I've not fractured my kneecap. I mean, if I fractured my kneecap, they said he's going to be out for 6 weeks. I'd just assume that was it for me.
Yeah.
So we'd be back in 6 weeks. Nah.
They'd just be pulling, the vet would pull the curtain out, wouldn't they?
That's it. I'm retired. That's fine. Yeah,
to the glue factory for Normanton.
It's another new injury for Forshaw, isn't it? But truthfully, did we expect him to play as much as he has this season? I didn't.
Or be as good as he has been.
No, he has been great. And it's a real shame we're not going to get to see him alongside Calvin Phillips in our new shiny penis formation.
I mean, it was a massive relief that it was only 6 weeks, because a mate texted me the news and it was like, oh no. Forshaw's done here, isn't he? Like, another massive injury. Is he going to get back from this? And then it was, oh no, he's only 6 weeks.
Mm. Oh, is that all?
That sounds all right.
It's reassuring that it's just an impact injury though. It's not presumably anything underlying, is it? Like, his injury was out forever with, was one of those ones where they could never get to the bottom of it. Whereas hopefully this is just a straightforward shattering of the kneecap.
Well, I feel like a shattering of the kneecap would be worse than maybe just like a hairline fracture, let's say.
I mean, 6 weeks suggests it can't be that bad. Because even if you know, when I broke my arm, was about 10. I think that was like 6 weeks of pop, and that wasn't.
I remember this, I'm guessing here a little bit, because I'm not a surgeon, despite my obvious skill in the field. Open it up, bit of gaffer tape on there, bit of glue. Jobs are good.
People are sick of experts, Dan. Have a go at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon I could.
Matt Letizia would probably consider himself to be an expert on this.
It does make you think, doesn't it? I'm gutted with the news that my season's over after an unfortunate injury in training, but since my return, I've loved every minute this season and can't wait for the next already. Thank you for all your messages and support.
Is that your Adam Forshaw?
That's me.
Okay. Yeah. What's Forshaw said, etc.
Yeah.
Marsh wants him about, though, doesn't he?
Which is
nice. I mean, and he was around.
Is he in the leadership group?
I think he does get mentioned among.
He's quite a grown up, isn't he, relative to the rest
sort of the squad dads, aren't they? I like to call him Cooper and Dallas and that.
Yeah, he's like the same age as Zaha, isn't he? Just to go back to having slating him. Look at Adam Forshaw, what a grown up he is.
And he's noble, isn't he?
Exactly. You wouldn't want Zaha about, would you, if he was injured? Just send him off to cry somewhere in a corner. But yeah, he was around during the sort of promotion as well, wasn't he, Forshaw? You got the feeling he was kept around for that as well. So he's obviously a nice lad.
Telling everyone they're going to romp it or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure the squad weren't that pleased when he said that.
He has similar confidence for this end of season.
So they want him to be in the hotel, to be in the pre-game meetings, to be there before the match, to make sure that he had an impact on the preparation. That's pre-Watford Marsh was talking about, wasn't he? I believe in leaders.
He has been one of the few things to enjoy about this season, for sure. There's not been a lot to kind of love about this season, but I think we were all at the phase with him just feeling desperately sorry for him as a bloke, just having to go through all this shit, and for him to come back and just really embrace it and be really, really good, like so much better than I expected. And he seems to come back as like a slightly different player. I never seem to remember him sprinting about the pitch as much as he has been this year. But he was a massive boost to our midfield when he got back.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's been nice to have him back. I dare say Andrea Radrizzani has been pleased to have him back as well, given his tweets to that effect earlier in the season. But, you know, the worthiness of that particular tweet will be judged, I guess, in another 4 weeks when the season is over, won't it? Which brings us on to relegation watch, actually. Three-horse race, are we calling it? Three-horse race, us, Everton and Burnley. We are keeping relegation. I haven't flirted with the idea of getting rid of it.
We definitely need to get rid of it.
I want to say, just for the record, that was just being tongue-in-cheek, by the way, because it was always going to go the distance, wasn't it, this one?
Well, it wasn't, it wasn't. If Burnley hadn't won these two games, you'd be feeling pretty safe still, wouldn't you?
I mean, well, what's the gap to Everton now? Is it 4 points?
Yeah, it's not very many.
Still.
Game in hand.
It's a couple of wins still, isn't it? They've got a game in hand, but it's still a couple of wins for them to overtake us, or a win and two draws. And then they've got to match us and outdo us for the rest of the season. So it's going to be tight. It's going to be squeaky, I think, isn't it? But I think it's just time to put the big boy pants on, isn't it, really? Don't you agree?
What does that look like?
Well, just like, stop crying about it. We are where we are. See what happens. No?
I feel like crying about it. Even if I'm going to do it, I'll do it quietly, though.
Yeah,
I don't need to.
I think the most disappointing aspect for me was if because I don't really like a lot of the Premier League. This season is showing, and I know like Moscow mentioned this when I said it before. It's like we don't like losing, but you do a lot of losing in the Premier League anyway, don't you? And as we were saying over on Propaganda with the Palace fans, they've found that actually they've enjoyed being about the same level in the table this season as they were last season, but it's been a lot more entertaining because the football's been nicer to watch. So you do get used to losing games, but you can lose games nobly. I think that's the thing. And it's just been a bit crap this season. But I know that all our ambitions and our future rests on us being in this division, and I want us to stay up. But is the Championship more fun?
No, it's not.
It's so long. It's awful. It's too many games. It's horrible.
It's the worst place in the world.
We will, if we go down, we'll have to come back and pretend that it's fine.
Yeah. And we should say at this point as well, because somebody was asking me, like, given the way that we feathered our nest with Brentford earlier in the season, that they could send us down on the final day. We should stress at this point that if that happens, we will just double down on all our previous opinions.
Correct.
And we will be right.
I will be writing a Frank Lampard-style letter to the Premier League to suggest that they relegate Brentford instead of us because they don't deserve it.
They'll go down next season.
They simply don't deserve a place based upon many, many things. I'll make some calls about Thomas Frank, which will see him out of action for a while. Mm-hmm. And then...
what will you say?
I've not decided yet.
Right. What will the general thrust of it be?
That's for the Premier League to deal with, I suppose.
Right.
When the time comes.
Well dealt with.
But I will not change my opinion. We deserve to be in this league, even though they appear to have 6 points more than us.
Yeah, and people will say, well, that's a very entitled point of view, Michael.
Correct. Yeah. I'm not entitled about everything, no. But Brentford, come on.
Are we saying that Norwich and Watford are basically gone at this stage? Because what's the gap there? Watford is...
I feel like Dean Smith every week talks
about... 9 points.
It feels like when they've been obviously down for about 3 weeks, he's kept going, I know we need to win more games than we've won in like two seasons of the Premier League, but we could win 6 games on the bounce or whatever.
Well, they've got 10 points to make up and an inferior goal difference, so effectively 11. So you're now talking with 5 games left, they need to win 4 of them and hope that Burnley...
Them and Watford are not staying up.
Lose every... No. So they're gone, are we saying?
Yes.
I did see it on Twitter at the weekend, again, with Dean Smith sort of trying to be optimistic or whatever, and their fans kind of going, but Dean, like, it's sort of your job, this, you know? You can't just hope that he's going
to
get there.
Yeah, and what happened to the post-Farker bounce as well?
Nothing.
I do hope he comes back. I really want Daniel Farker to, if he comes to Burnley...
He can't go to Burnley.
That would be the marriage made in heaven.
He cannot go to Burnley.
Why not?
It just wouldn't suit him, would
Why?
It? Why? Because I don't know, his light and airy manner wouldn't fit.
You don't think, is it a bit more industrial there?
They need grit. They can't go from the grit of Deitch to, I mean, who's even in charge at Burnley now? Ben Mee and some other people.
It's Michael Jackson, isn't it? is the name. It's the under-23s coach. It stuck in my mind for obvious reasons. But yeah, we didn't, and this is another point actually about talking about relegation watch. And I hadn't thought about this until Moscow mentioned it in one of his recent articles on the website. So go find that one, whichever one it is, about them potentially doing something stupid between now and the end of the season by appointing somebody else. Because they're talking about an interim manager to see him through to the end of the season when it seems like they've had the bounce now, and yet they might then undo that by putting somebody else in. Because I just feel like, I just hope and feel like maybe they might plateau.
I mean, they likely will. I know they've got an easy run of games, but they played all these teams earlier in the season and were still in the bottom three. So they obviously are not a margin better than these teams. They've just had a good little run at the moment, and I think they've been fairly fortunate to be playing those teams cut adrift in mid-table who were not really arsed, like Southampton, who we played and didn't beat, and then Wolves, who we convincingly beat.
Yeah.
Oh, I was never in doubt that result. So, I mean, they've done quite well, haven't they?
It's only a couple of weeks since they were losing to Norwich, isn't it? And it's one of those things where if you lose to Norwich, it's like having 17% possession. You just think, well, you're not trying, are you? Like, you shouldn't be allowed to stay here if you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they will drop points between now and the end of the season. We just have to hope that it's fewer points than us.
I mean, the thing is, a lot of Leeds fans are kind of almost talking ourselves into being relegated already. But our run of games is essentially the same as Everton's.
Yeah.
And we've got a 4-point start on them, so...
Albeit with a game.
No, a 5-point start.
Yeah.
5 points, is that right? That seems too good.
Yeah, in fact, it was 4 points, but it's been extended to 5. Yeah, we should have said that. Because, yeah, it's a win and two draws to get level with us.
Obviously, our goal difference is shots of shit as well.
But that said...
Never mind, this weekend we may improve it.
Yeah, and but they're on minus 21, so it's not completely out of sight. All they need to do is get a few heavy beatings. Which might happen.
Possibly. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure Everton fans are saying they're down as well. So who can be the most miserable?
I do wonder. I mean, Villa's fans don't seem very pleased at the minute either. And they do have a game in hand, which would see them up to like 40 points, two games in hand actually on the teams above them. But they're not in a particularly hot streak at the minute. I wonder if they're just glancing over their shoulder a tiny bit. Because if that was us, we would be.
Another thing is another win sorts it for them. And they've got 6 games left. You have to imagine that they'll get to it. And also, I think 37 is probably just about enough to keep you up anyway.
So are you saying that we need one more win then out of our remaining 5 games?
We need 2 more.
So they need one. They need
Villa are safe on 37, but we need at least 40. That's the way I'm viewing it, and that's how the logic works at this stage.
Where do you think we'll get to, Rob?
Like I was saying in propaganda, I'm sort of just refusing to acknowledge it and convincing myself everything's fine. So like I was away last week and briefly I just switched off from everything, and then briefly took one look at Twitter and saw Burnley were winning, and that just sent Leeds fans absolutely mental. And I thought, I don't need to look at this. It's just better off not knowing. And, you know, I've got home and we're not in the relegation zone. We've got a 5-point buffer. So it's fine, right? it's fine, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sort of looking for other people to reassure me, but looking to Leeds fans for reassurance.
One of the things that sprung to mind, actually, that I didn't realise until I laid this out on the sheet here, was the way that the fixtures fall as well. So we've got 4 fixtures, and then Everton and Burnley have got their spare games after we play Brighton in that final midweek. I just thought, if hopefully we can get to the Brighton game, having got something out of one of these 3 games coming up, beat Brighton, know that we're safe, and then we can just enjoy the last week of the season.
I am terrified of getting to those final 2 games and it being, oh yeah, we really need to win these.
And we don't do well against Brighton, do we?
I was going to say, we don't really do well when it's that sort of must win. We need to win.
I think we've got it within us to grind out stuff when we need to. And we're certainly grinding at the minute, aren't we?
I mean, to go back to the comparison with Burnley's fixtures, those games are going to be completely meaningless for Brighton and Brentford, aren't they? So that's got to be good, hasn't it? You'd rather be playing Brentford on the last day than Everton, for example.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a team, or, you know, Man City or someone who also needs to win. So
now on that final day, they are like Burnley have got Newcastle at home, who are objectively a better team than them. Now they've got Hotspur striker Chris Wood, and they've got Arsenal away of Everton. So
at one point, that was looking like it was going to be
a decider
on the last day of the season. Newcastle are now 9th.
Yeah, well, we've got Man City this weekend, which we'll preview in the next bit. Burnley are away at Watford. They're overdue a home win at Watford, aren't they? And Burnley went to Norwich and messed it up. They're going to go to Watford and mess it up.
Watford don't look interested.
Neither will.
They'll win
this one. And Everton will obviously lose at home to Chelsea.
You'd hope so.
Frank Lampard cares too much. So it's fine this weekend.
I'm really looking forward to not having to watch Burnley and Everton games, because they're terrible.
We are as well.
That's true as well.
But we've got to watch Leeds.
But I'm invested in that, so I care. Whereas watching Richarlison go down with a head injury when he's just headed a ball, not when the ball kicked him, he just headed a corner clear and went down with a head injury, and Gordon falling about every 2 minutes, like, painful. It's absolutely painful to watch.
Well, 538.com, we've been leaning on their projections over the last few weeks. So they, if you're not aware of it, they run an algorithm. It's called the SPI. I think it's like Sports Performance Index. And they run like 20,000 simulations of a season, and each game gets weighted in favour of one team or another. So they've run their algorithm, and off 20,000 seasons, they reckon we've got an 18% chance of staying up. Now, last week, it was, an 18% chance of going down, beg your pardon. Last week, it was 10%. So things have closed up a little bit, but it's still, 82% chance of staying up because there's two teams below us who are also duking it out.
Yeah, I mean, ours has moved 18 to 10. Everton have gone from 54% to 32% and switched with Burnley. So they now are looking...
So they've gone up. Sorry, their chances have increased a huge amount.
Yeah.
So there's more than a 1 in 2 chance that Everton will go down based on...
So it's been a moderately bad week for us and an absolutely terrible week for them, mm-hmm. according to this.
Yeah.
But then if this was changed week to week, can we trust it? Surely if it was such a good model, it would stay the same.
Well, the model has us finishing 16th, Michael, on 38 points. So it reckons we will accrue another, 4 points from here?
Yeah. That's probably... That puts us in the Villa kind of territory, doesn't it? And I did declare them safe.
I feel like Everton aren't going to go down just because football isn't that nice and kind. Like, that is what should happen, because it would be by far the funniest outcome.
It would. But that would be, if we get to the end of the season having endured this, and let's face it, we're all going to exhale, aren't we? If we stay up, whenever that may be, we'll be like, oh, thank God that's happened. Thank God this is over. We'll get to laugh at somebody if it's not us. That would be the perfect outcome, really. And it is petty. And people say, oh, you should be Frank Lampard. He's a twat. Come on, isn't he?
He's dreadful.
Yeah. As seen by the letters to the referee people. Anyway, so that's that. That's relegation watch. We're basically, so the too long didn't read version of that is, please, can we stay up? Isn't it?
Just stop winning other teams, please.
Yeah, and they won't win loads.
We can do without you winning, Burnley.
They won't win loads, but let's hope that we do. And hope that something gives over the next few weeks that we don't expect to happen. So something happens nice. That's nice. Like a repeat of the Viduka at Arsenal moment. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? It's like that. Anyway, to the 23s, we broke the Premier League 2 attendance record. So there's that. That's the real quiz.
That's, yeah, good season.
And did you watch it?
And I was on holiday. So
I've seen the highlights.
Where were you, Rob?
I was also on holiday.
You were also on holiday. Fucking middle of the season, you lazy bit. We took an early lead against Man City via Matteo Joseph, who looks like a good prospect, doesn't he?
He's been good.
He looked happy, didn't he, when he scored?
He started to get into the team a bit more now, and he's scored a few good goals. So, you know, that January transfer window, everyone was miserable about.
Their keeper should have been sent off as well for clattering Somerville. That was a clear red card any day of the week.
You would think so. I can only assume the referee let him off because he's a child or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, they beat us.
Well done to the women as well, who went to Liverpool Feds, who I think, have they been promoted now?
Not quite.
Liverpool Feds, but they should get up there, shouldn't
they? A winning this would have seen them up. As it is, they've now got to go to the last game.
Ah, so we spoiled...
Because Newcastle have games.
Did we spoil their party?
We did.
Get in.
Which is good. And I think Newcastle have got two to play. They've got one to play, but Newcastle's game in hand is against Anik, who have got 2 points and have conceded like 7 every game.
Right.
So it's...
What's going to happen there?
I think Newcastle are going to win, probably.
Yeah.
So it's going to send it to the last day.
I bet Jesse, I've just mentioned on the sheet here, Jesse's tour of Yorkshire. I bet Jesse would like Anik, actually.
Probably would.
But he's not strayed outside the boundaries of Yorkshire yet. We've, so far on the tour, York, Harrogate, Knaresborough, Leeds. Which is your favourite?
Leeds.
Yep.
Leeds.
Which is your other favourite outside of Leeds?
Go York.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Nice good. Is York, isn't it?
Nice pubs and that.
Yeah, but still feel more accessible than maybe Harrogate.
Yeah, Harrogate's really nice, but I just can't imagine living there somehow.
I don't think I can imagine you living there. No. <Yeah. laughs> What is it about Harrogate that makes you think you won't fit in?
Where to begin? I mean, Danny Mills lives there still, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Me and him could go out for a pint.
You could do your Right Said Fred tribute act in Harrogate.
I'm not sure that's even funny anymore, is it? Right Said Fred tribute act, no. Given they're associating themselves with neo-Nazis and stuff.
I mean, I came in here and saw you two do the same the other week. So, as in a Right Said Fred tribute act, not a...
We were just singing
this,
we were singing Deeply Dippy, weren't we? Because it was at number one when we were recording the Match Ball 30. So we ended up having a bit of a sing-song here, which thankfully wasn't recorded.
They were mentioned on... Matt Letitier was on the podcast, which had also had Right Said Fred on as well, I think was the other link. But yeah, he's doing a nice tour. He's gone a bit nice though, hasn't he? He's gone to the nice places.
Yeah. About Mother Shipton's cave there in Knaresborough.
Knaresborough's nice.
Very scenic is Knaresborough.
Knaresborough's nice. It is nice, yeah. But get yourself to the five towns that I couldn't remember the other day.
Which is it's Dewsbury.
No, not Dewsbury.
Wakefield, Mordor. Which is the other one?
Go to Dewsbury. Yeah. Go to Batley.
Yeah. Brighouse.
These proper places, Jesse.
I'll take him out in Bradford. I mean, I haven't myself in Bradford in years, but I'm willing to break my duck.
He's such a positive man as well. You know he'd find the good in it.
a real team effort. I need to give a quick plug to this as well. I've been poached by Big Drama, so I'm sorry for being self-indulgent now, but I'm in a 10-part podcast drama. It's got a bit of a Leedsy vibe to it. Mm-hmm. Why are you rolling your eyes at me? It's been written and co-produced by a guy called Joe Derrick, who's a massive Leeds fan, and it stars Nikolai Coster-Waldau as well, who is genuinely famous. He is billed higher up in the credits than I am. I am about third from last, billed as reporter. But that's not the best character that I play.
How come you, who can do no accents, gets
what do you mean I can do no accents? I'm good at accents.
Do some.
No. I'm not your performing seal.
I could have done this as Deitch.
You could have done, actually. It would have been great. Before I tell you the character that I'm going to play, I'm just going to say it's out on Audible. Genuine, like, proper thing. It's not some fly-by-night thing. Audible, May the 12th. It's called Radio Man. And I'll give you the billing for it. It says, when a series of gruesome murders leaves a community in despair, a former local radio DJ, not me, decides to start a podcast, again, not me, and do something about it. But as his following grows, long-buried secrets from the past resurface, revealing not everyone is who they truly seem. In fact, you should have done that as Deitch.
Not now. You've slagged it off.
Farker? No. Okay. Maybe another day. But in it,
if anyone wants to commission a Deitch and Farker detective series for
buddy cop duo
for the radio, send me the script.
But I play racist dog owner, who's one of the characters that I play.
Playing yourself then.
Etc. Yes, that's correct, Michael. So I've got a little clip here for you. Tell me afterwards what you think of my acting abilities as racist dog owner. So we've got two young Asian lads who are going door to door with leaflets, trying to get casual work, and they come and knock on my door.
My feet kill, man.
It's not supposed to be easy. This is work, man.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, it wouldn't be as shit as this. You do the chatting on this one, yeah?
That's me, dog.
Yes! We're just knocking on doors to see if we can do any odd jobs for folk.
No.
Gardening or errands or something.
Nothing, no.
Anything, really.
No!
We got a flyer.
No! Piss off, we're good, thank you.
This is getting us nowhere.
Probably trained his dog to hate on Browns, I reckon.
Another wanker.
There you go, racist dog owner.
He was right, but he was right at the last bit anyway.
Did he use your dog as well?
None of that is true. We should just say very clearly for the record. What do you think of my acting there?
It was adequate.
Yep. Think I'll get an award for that?
No.
I'd like one.
No.
Would you make me an award?
No awards. Come away.
Yeah, so look out for that then. Radio Man, it lands on Audible on the 12th of May. I'm looking forward to that. I've heard, I've been sent a preview of it. It's really, really good.
Pardon me a bit.
It's better than anything I could make. Have you heard about wills?
Future King?
No, the written kind of wills.
Where your stuff goes,
yes,
that one.
Yes, absolutely correct. Levi Solicitors do all sorts of future planning services for you, and they are right behind us on this podcast. If you're planning for the future, whether it is wills, lasting power of attorney, inheritance tax planning, Levi's can take care of all that for you. Because you need to make sure you see, what's in your loft. I mean, I'm thinking shoot magazines from the 1980s, VHS tapes with Leeds United on them, maybe a collection of football shirts, that kind of thing.
My VHSs are going to the dog's home, so the dogs can enjoy those. The 11 card trick with Wilco, that sort of stuff. It's ideal for them.
No matter how old you are, you need an up-to-date will. Levi's Solicitors can take care of it. 10% off your legal fees as well if you go through us. So have a look at the website for the full range of legal services for you and for your business. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Here's the Man City preview then. Away win. Off we go. On to heroes and villains.
Chessie says we're going to go for it, didn't he? Against the biggest Goliath in the world.
In what sense? Are we going to copy the biblical parable and bring a sling full of stones to pepper them in the face with them? In the face?
I only watched the second half of that game last night.
It was very entertaining, the Real Madrid game, by the way.
It was. Yeah. It was really good. He was getting the kids to bed.
Which goes to show you.
Through the first half.
You can get at them.
Yes.
With Karim Benzema.
Yes, who we more or less have in Dan James. Mm-hmm. That physical presence up front caused them issues, didn't it? Yeah, they're just really good. It was like watching a documentary about plane crashes the night before you go on a plane. You know, so that was one of the things where you watch it and just going, oh God. Oh.
Why did I watch this? Why am I still watching even though I'm aware of this thought? Yeah.
I just made it so much worse.
On my refusing to acknowledge things tip, I I was about to turn it on, checked the score. It was 2-0 after 10 minutes and decided to watch the snooker. I thought that would be far more soothing than watching how great Man City are.
Are we going to pop the blue on Saturday? That's the question, Rob. There is the question. Yeah, 4-3 against Real Madrid. But you can get at them. Can we get at them?
We didn't earlier in the season, did we?
No, not really.
They got at us seven times.
All the joking aside, right, because they did obviously dick us 7-0 earlier in the season. And they're very good at everything. And as we said in one of the shows we've done, they've got £50 million footballers in every position and then some. What's a good result here? Is this the litmus test of Marsh, where we find out whether his more pragmatic style has any benefits? Because there's quite legitimately going to be an argument that let's say we lose 2 or 3 nil and people say, well, it's an improvement on earlier in the season. And they might be right, which is shit.
I suppose the model for it is looking at Everton against Liverpool, where it's Liverpool, they're more or less on a power Man City, aren't they? The two of them, they're kind of neck and neck, I would say. And Everton were in that game, as horrendously ugly as it was to watch, and for the amount of ridiculous cheating and time wasting that went on, they did still have some chances. And I guess you can justify the approach, just like if we'd beaten Palace and played as badly as we did. If we had managed to snatch one, or, you know, we win a late penalty and get a goal, or get a goal from a set piece or something, it does justify the approach. And I know we did beat Man City last year, but that
But we did that by sitting deep and hitting them on the break, which is more like what we're going to try and do now.
It felt like a miracle at the time. And I feel like those things don't happen very often.
Have we used up all our godly miracles?
I mean, Liverpool, I don't know what the odds for us are, but I noticed Everton were 16-1 to beat Liverpool.
Let's have a look, shall we?
Which for two teams in the same league is ridiculous. There must be the widest odds of any Merseyside derby ever, probably.
I am intrigued what going for it under Marsh looks like. Because one of the things he was mentioning in his post-Palace press was how he'd coached against Guardiola's City before this season. So I thought, oh, I'll go look back at how they got on.
How did they get on, Rob?
And he was coaching RB Leipzig at the Etihad and they lost 6-3, which is an improvement.
But what about the return leg? Is the return leg that's important, Rob?
The return leg is interesting because RB Leipzig won 2-1. Mm-hmm. But that came 2 days after Jesse Marsh had left the job.
Damn.
And that was sort of a rotated City team, which we might be facing at the weekend if we are between two Champions League semi-finals, which is what I'm kind of pinning my hopes on for. Because before the Palace game, I had a weird feeling of, do you know what, I fancy us to beat City. And then I watched us play against Palace and I thought, oh God, this could be terrifying.
But maybe it's like mixing water and oil. And that's what we want to make, a horrible oily mess. Because that's what we need to do, isn't it? We need to drag them down to our level. We need to get them involved. We need to give them the Palace treatment and get them involved in a battle. That's how we can maybe claw something out of this.
Do you remember when Michael Brown tried kicking Yaya Toure out of the game for Man City and he just booted us back?
Yeah, I was at that game. They scored for about 5 minutes, didn't they? And we were never in it. It was one of those things you turn up, you're like, well, might be a cup ups. Nope. Straight away. I mean, I'd take a 6-3 defeat. That sounds entertaining and only a 3-goal margin.
And you'd see 9 goals.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I can't see us getting anything. I really cannot. I mean,
if there is one crumb of comfort, isn't it not, or a sliver of hope, not a crumb of comfort? If there's a sliver of hope, isn't it not what Rob said, that they're between two Real Madrid games here? And I know they're trying to battle on all fronts here, but isn't that, it's a bit enough of a distraction where it gives us a little bit of something to cling to?
It means they might rest some players, like, you know, De Bruyne might be given a day off or something, which might help a bit.
I'd be up for that.
But, you know,
give De Bruyne a rest. Put Jack Grealish in so we've got somebody to hate on.
That's true.
Have a pantomime villain.
Yeah, I'm glad it's at Elland Road as well. It feels like ages since we've been. And it was the Southampton game, the last home game, wasn't it? And being there it felt all right. And then afterwards I was a bit like, it wasn't great. But it felt a lot better being there than watching Watford and watching the Palace game has been, which I've found terrible.
Yeah, that was the big discrepancy when we did Watford and people were saying, like, the comments on the match ball were like, we were dead negative, and a lot of people who were there said it was brilliant, which it is when you win 3-0, but it was very stressful. I think we were all feeding off each other in here when we were watching it as well, like the anxiety attached to it all. Yeah, it is always better to suffer in the ground than it is to suffer watching on telly. That is absolutely true. The odds, by the way, according to Sky Bet, we are 9-1 in what is effectively a two-horse race, albeit there's a third outcome. The draw is 5-1. They are 4-1 on to win that game, Man City.
Seems quite good, I would say.
Just looking at who scored's preview, and Man City seems to have a lot of strengths and one weakness, which is aerial duels. So
they're good at finishing scoring chances, Rob. That concerns me.
So, you know, Dan James up against their centre-backs.
They're good at attacking down the wings. very good at that.
We don't have wings.
So we don't do wings, so that's fine.
But if you attack down the wings, you can't score from a wing, can you?
No, because as Jesse said, the goal's in the middle.
The goal is not in the corner flag, as he said.
So as long as we're solid in the middle.
So if we have 10 players in the box, in the middle, which is what we're likely to see, I suspect.
We can be bus parking knobheads like Everton.
Yeah, they're good at defending set pieces. They're good at attacking set pieces. They like creating long shot opportunities. They like everything. And they like protecting the lead as well. The weakness is aerial duels.
We're not that good at them, are we?
Well, if we can force them to pump the ball into the box from out wide, this is how we will win, by clearing headers from Liam Cooper.
I mean, there was some feedback on the propaganda sheet from someone suggesting we should just play Charlie Cresswell up front if all we're going to do is hoof it forward. So maybe this is the game to try it out.
Maybe do it. Just go big. Strouk, Cresswell. Who else is big? Big people off the bench.
Hjelder.
Cock from the start. Hjelder. Fully Allardyce it. Big lads.
Do you know what?
Rafinha on the long throws.
As ugly as this would be, I think I'd enjoy it.
It would be quite funny.
It'd be the most wild, the maddest thing you'd ever seen, wouldn't it? If suddenly we just packed the entire team with big thugs.
Just Rafinha stood with the ball in his hands.
Yeah. Rafinha, you stand up front, maybe not on your own. We'll leave Dan James in there for
Dan James for the running.
But mind you, he's a thug.
He is.
Just a little thug now, scrappy do.
He's like a Monday Bremner.
Yeah. Minus all the footballing.
Apart from if you take away the
intelligence.
The stuff he does on the...
That was what Carragher said on Monday Night Football. He said it was like having Bremner and Giles back in midfield, the amount of tackles going in.
That's quite a stretch, that.
Yeah.
Jamie. I mean, they're going to win, aren't they? Probably.
Yeah. you're normally the optimistic one here, but...
But as we were saying, was it in the previous section or whatever, or was it in propaganda, where we were just saying, like, well, it's going to get to this game. It's like, well, they're going to win. What's the point? What's the point of even getting your hopes up? Don't dream about anything, kids. It's pointless.
I mean, they, just to go back to the predicted league, they're predicted to finish on 91 points this season.
Mm-hmm.
We're predicted 38 points. So there's quite a gap to bridge there.
Would this be probably our best ever Premier League result if we were to win it?
Beating them last year was arguably better because it was 10 men at their place.
Given where we are in the league.
I was going to say, it was also relatively meaningless for us, wasn't it, that win? And it was meaningless for them, I think, as well, because they were miles clear, I think, last year.
They were really trying hard.
But they were already clear, weren't they? Like, as Liverpool had an off year, didn't they? Because Van Dijk was injured. So I think they were well clear. We were well safe.
I've just got visions now because I've just noticed on the sheet here, like the style of play criteria from whoscored.com, saying that Man City are non-aggressive in their style. And I've just got visions of Dan James going through one of them in the first 5 minutes. Then he does it again after about 20. He gets sent off. We're playing with 10 men again. That could happen, couldn't it?
And then through goes Dallas.
20 minutes, and we're playing with 10 men for the rest of the game. Why not? Let's do it. I mean, I'm just looking at their squad. That's ridiculous. What's the point?
Yeah.
How do you compete with that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only Phil Foden they can be proud of. And even then, that's because they've got a ridiculous academy.
I think he's a Man City fan, though, isn't he?
Yeah, still.
Let's just look.
Does it count?
Yeah. He's only a Man City fan because he was a glory-hunting little shit. He'd have been a Man United fan if he'd been 10 years earlier.
Well,
probably.
De Bruyne.
He's probably got quite a hard family, actually. He'll come and find me. He would have always supported Man City.
I mean, Gabriel Jesus, they don't even want him anymore.
Well, it's interesting.
And he can't stop scoring.
Well, they don't really have anyone who scores that many goals, do they? I know they're looking at getting Haaland this year, which will probably remedy that, but they've just got loads of players who score quite a lot of goals, like De Bruyne and Mahrez and Sterling and Foden. Like, they all get quite a lot, but they don't have like a 30 goal man anymore, do they, since Aguero left?
They're all just really, really good.
They don't need one, and that's upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet there is a part of me, despite all that, I'm glad we're us.
Well, the thing is with Man City, it's quite hard to hate them because they're really good to watch. Like when Chelsea were being good in the early Abramovich era, like it was Mourinho, and it was quite nice that they were stopping scum winning stuff, but the actual football wasn't great, was it? And they had quite a few players who were hard to love, like Lampard and Terry and Drogba, were always kind of annoying to watch and play against. Whereas Man City are really quite fun in the main.
And very good, yeah.
So it's hard to...
And obviously you set that against denying Liverpool things because they're unbearable, and Man United because they're unbearable.
Yeah, and like if Newcastle become good, I get the feeling they'll be unbearable too.
Oh, completely. Which we would be if it was us. We'd be awful.
I don't know why Man City is sort of...
City have the good grace to not enjoy this incredible fortune they've had.
Yeah, they're just quite sulky about extra games. Oh, I've got more Champions League games to go to.
Yeah.
Oh, another trip to bloody Wembley. That's going to cost.
And it's not real, is it, any of it? It's not real. So it doesn't count?
So it doesn't count.
So that's all we've got to say on that. away win?
Yeah.
Away win, Rob?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, heart says away. Head says away win. Heart says away win, yeah. I even stumbled and messed up my own joke there. I'll go for a Leeds win.
A Leeds win, not even a point.
Nah, let's get a win.
Some fun. That's all I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just go to a game of football.
Why not?
It'd be fun.
And we'll close this section on the words of Pep Guardiola, who said after Real Madrid, now it's wine, rest and Leeds United. That's the most important thing. And it sounds like Pep has got his priorities quite right there. That's essentially the life that I crave. Like the sound of that?
It's annoying that they need to win this. I feel like if they had a 10-point lead at this stage and Real Madrid...
It'll make them desperate,
and Real
Michael.
Madrid coming up next week, I feel like they could have tossed this one off a bit, but they kind of need to win this and the Real Madrid game now.
I was going to say, given the fact that we can't change that the title race is tight between them and Liverpool, if you'd have wanted an outcome from the Real Madrid game, it's a daft outcome like we had, like where it's really, that remains tight. So it's going to have to be a balancing act. So they might just choose to rest De Bruyne, for example, because they think we're shite, which may or may not be true.
Yeah, fair enough. But we're going to lose. But that's fine.
Yeah. And on to the next week. Yeah. When we play Arsenal. Right.
Arsenal, the thing is, Arsenal are in a completely different league to Man City. Like we probably won't get anything from it, just to leap ahead, but we could. Mm. Whereas this.
Yeah. Wine, rest and Leeds United this weekend. What do you reckon?
Sounds all right. Sounds like every weekend, doesn't it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Part three of the show is Heroes and Villains. First, the Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award, named after our former chairman and owner who brought us plenty of misery. Nominations then. What did we get from our TSB Plus members and who else would you like to add yourself, if anybody? I presume Zaha getting a few mentions.
Zaha and Gallagher getting plenty.
Why do you think that is, Michael? You tell me why, Rob.
I mean, Neil Warnock is a character that name sounds like a fair place to start, but Wilf Zaha. What a fucking whopper he is. Biggest baby ever. Someone needs to break him in half. That it's generally sort of along that theme. We can't read the top one on the Zaha section.
No, I mean, that is
submitted by serious
John
allegations.
P. John, that is libelous, heavily libelous.
I think Brian sums it up for me on Zaha. Cheer up, for fuck's sake. The rest of us have to go to actual work tomorrow, you miserable scum bastard. It is the way he seems to hate it. I don't understand it. That's what I got from the game. Like,
yeah.
What's his aim?
He does look
He's just upset
sad.
With it. He's just upset with the whole thing. So, yeah, and Andrew pointing out his face is an issue.
Yeah, it has been suggested, hasn't it, that we do an extra ball, because we mentioned Gordon, who plays for Everton, he's got a scouse face.
Yeah.
So we were saying, like, that sort of ilk of person, obviously not everyone's a scouse face, but, like, Zaha's got, is it resting bitch face that Zaha's
got? He's
got
a scum face. Yeah. It's amazing that move never worked out for him.
Yeah. It's like Scott McTominay just has a scum face, doesn't he? He just looks like he should play for them.
Yeah, so sort of a scum face, scouse face kind of.
I enjoyed Scrooge's comment as well. I said, absolute panto villain. To be fair to him.
Oh, no, he isn't.
He'd be a world-class player if everyone just didn't tackle him or block his shots or run alongside him or just play football against him. There's Russian conscripts that mugs look at Zaha and think, thank fuck, that's not me.
Oh, dear.
Right. And Gallagher, I mean, Gallagher was actually worse on the diving. Yeah, yeah. Gallagher did at least two dives with zero contact. There was the one he tried to win a penalty for at the end, which I haven't seen a replay of it. I'd urge you to seek this out because it's ridiculous. He does that. He's trying to do the.
Is it Urente that he goes up against?
I think it's Harrison. He's right. Reaching. Oh, he's far away from anyone. It's hard to know who he's even trying to run into, but he's doing the sort of. It's a kind of pioneered by Ronaldo, probably early days, then taken on by Grealish and Kane. The thing where you run past someone, and as you do it, rather than running with your legs like close together as a normal runner would, you kind of scissor them out in the hope that you'll touch someone.
Yeah.
And he leaps so far to his right.
Well, that's
and
not,
still comes nowhere near anyone.
That's not necessarily 100% accurate, because when they do it, the scissoring motion tends to come like it's a single move, isn't it? Whereas what he did was actually land his right foot, which was his carrying his weight, and then take another step to drag it across Harrison. He's foul.
It looked more like a sliding tackle, the way he had to execute it to try and get a contact on it. So, and then there was another one he did, I think it was with Phillips. He was running into the corner with it towards the end of the game. And again, he obviously expected there to be a tackle going, and Phillips didn't do it, but he went down anyway. And then there were loads of them.
And look, like, we should say as well, like, people do this. Dan James does it as well. Like, he puts his body in front of...
That's because he's a little scumbastard.
In front of plenty of defenders and goes down. It happens. What we're doing here is acknowledging that it happens and being honest about it. And all these fans of Palace who've been in denial about Zaha dive, he does dive.
He does dive.
Yeah. And Gallagher dives. All very, very obvious. I mean, Dan James does it. Luke Ayling does it. Loads of footballers do it. But ours are nicer than yours.
To go back to the most fouled list, Zaha's like so far clear at the top of that. Are you telling me that people want to foul him more than they want to foul Mahrez or De Bruyne or Bernardo Silva, all players who are better than him but don't?
Yeah.
Or is it that he wants to be fouled?
Yeah.
And therefore goes down all the time? Like, it doesn't make any sense that he would be the most fouled player in the league unless he wanted to be fouled.
Area 49.
And what I'm doing is I'm victim blaming.
Yeah. Whinging little bastards. Ender's saying, whiny diving little cheats. There are questions around how he doesn't get two yellows for simulation every game he plays.
Well, Gallagher should have done. Yeah. He did two spectacular zero contact dives, which should have been yellows. Admittedly.
There should be punishment for that where you can see that people are looking for it. I know we were joking about it on the match ball, weren't we?
It would be the thing is, it doesn't even need to happen during the game. If after the game you could go back and look at, if there's stuff with zero contact, I know Zaha is kind of tends to be clever enough to get a bit of a touch on someone, but Gallagher went down twice with no one anywhere near him. So it wouldn't be hard to go back after the game and go, we're retrospectively applying two yellows to this. And it would be an easy way of kind of cutting some of this stuff out. Mm. But they don't, for some reason.
It's one of those Gallagher where it clearly looks like a decent player, but if it had come to Leeds, I feel like he's got too much of a Chelsea face to have actually played well. He just looks like a Chelsea player.
A Chelsea face. Ian does pick him out actually in the nominations here, saying, Conor Gallagher for choosing Palace. Did he choose Palace or did he just want to stay in London? There's a difference.
I think we wouldn't promise him first team football,
which was never the case with Bielsa, in much the same way that when Ben White came in, that's where he was told, and he was put in the 23s and he was brilliant, and now he's a £50 million footballer. Mm-hmm. He said if Gallagher was at Leeds, I suspect Bielsa still would be, so it's all his fault.
It's a stretch to blame him for that.
It is,
but still I'm more than happy.
The heart wants what the heart wants, though, doesn't it?
Exactly.
You can't blame him for that. Other nominations and the coaching team. Our coaching team, is it?
Yes, our coaching team, who decided to let them all take 2 weeks off instead of teaching a pass or a tackle.
Yeah.
They can have their holiday between the end of May and the start of the championship season. That was from No Name, which is a shame because it was a good comment.
It is a funny comment, is that right?
I mean, I don't think they had 2 weeks off, did they? I think it was...
They had a few days off, I think.
Yeah.
It was a bit annoying that Marsh came out afterwards and then said, well, it's quite hard to keep them fit during that 2 week break.
You didn't have to send them all off to Ayia Napa. Crystal Palace as a concept got nominations as well. Adsham suggesting they're a diet Millwall.
Yeah, side of tossers cheered on by their god-awful droning ultras with that fucking drum.
Yeah, the drums and the singing were picked out by Scrooge as well. Please stop.
We get it. You're basically a Bollywood musical in Croydon. Please stop.
I like that analogy. Yeah, I said on the match ball, I noticed it was about sort of three quarters of the way through the game. I was like, just realised they've been drumming all game. Tiresome. Turn it down a notch. Turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, don't suggest in your diet Millwall. We're not saying pivot towards racism.
No.
But, you know, do something better.
Do something better. Burnley, have they done something better? West Ham, Ralph and Nowhere Man picking out Burnley for having the temerity to sack Sean Dyche and then go on a run and pick up points. Just go down with a whimper, said Nowhere Man. Do the right thing. Fair. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How is Dyche, do you think, this week? A lot of people enjoyed his appearance on the show last week when he dialed in from his holiday.
Yes.
Is he having a nice time now? What do you think he's doing?
Still on holiday, I reckon.
Is he?
Yeah.
Can we not get him on?
Again?
I mean, like, people like to hear from Dyche. He's one of the football's iconic figures.
Oh, where is he this week? I don't know.
Think on it. Right, what else have we got?
Sticking on Palace, the halftime entertainment wanker. The shitbag who scored a penalty at halftime and cupped his ears to the away end. You had a giant bird in goal. Get over yourself.
Presumably that was the Eagle mascot that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, although, you know, it's quite hard to score a penalty against something gigantic that's got wings because you've got a lot of coverage of the goal there, haven't you?
Mm.
It's like in the 1980s, was it Bruce Grobbelaar who wore those comedy massive foam gloves?
And Neville Southall who wore the comedy fat suit towards the end of his career.
Lampard and Everton as well, getting some nominations for presumably just for being in this race.
I mean, Dennison sums it up. No reason, but every reason.
Yeah.
He sums Frank Lampard up.
Every 49 says, where? That mean man in black didn't give me what I want, even though I asked. I'm going to write a letter to his work so I can tell him how bad he is.
Pathetic entitled bellend is described as. There's a proper grassing element to that, isn't there?
He is a grass.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah.
He's proven. He would try and get someone... If he thought like a delivery driver had been a bit snippy with him, he would be on the phone saying he wasn't very polite.
He's a proper, he'd be a one-star Uber rater, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
What a prick. Because like you've got to go for a baseline 3 with your Uber driver, at least.
Just give him 5-star all the time, unless there's been an actual assault take place, I think. I've been happy enough with this.
Yeah, I mean... Do you always, when you get an Uber, I mean, presumably you don't, Michael, you'll find... You'd walk, always. But if you do...
I will wait 6 hours for a bus.
Have you found yourself like being like overly friendly with them because you don't want your star rating to drop? Don't do that.
It wasn't until a friend asked me for my rating and we started comparing it and it's like, oh shit, I really want a 5-star rating. Now I'm stuck.
Because I was... I had the full 5 stars and then one driver who I was nice as pie to, but not overly bearing. He gave me 4. Really put...
He'd heard you play the part of racist dog owner.
Yeah, fair point.
He had it on the radio and he was like, I recognise this guy. Something I don't like about him.
Lord Rogerio is picking the low-hanging fruit here, saying wank Lampard's wicked comb-over, can't be legal, heading towards the Sir Bobby.
The thing is, you know it would upset him as well. So that's why it's worth persisting. I've just checked 4.84 on Uber.
Right, okay, I'm going to have to have a look. This is
going to be a test of who's the best person here.
Just as an aside, they've just launched Uber Pets, where you can call for a taxi to take your dog with you or your cat.
I thought you got a lift on a dog.
Or your lion.
I've got a new phone. I'm locked out of my Uber account.
Rob's got like 2.1 here. Yeah. He's trying to pretend.
Michael, 4.91.
Bastard.
Read it and weep. Read it and weep. There we go.
You're 0.07 better than me.
I am objectively a better person than you. What else have we got?
Wolves. Dickheads. No explanation given.
Richard. Just thanks, Richard.
Losing to Burnley, I guess, is their crime.
A couple of disliking messages for Jesse Marsh as well. That's unfair, Jelly, suggesting that he's taken Calvin Phillips back 4 seasons. I don't think that's true. And there are a lot of cheap shots at American tropes there.
I was going to say, he's just a soda-drinking, candy-chomping, chip-crunching TED Talk Sean Dyche. He does then say, I may be overreacting, which is fair enough. Yeah, I mean, Phillips, it's too early to judge him, isn't it? He's not played.
And Cock for Click as well was mentioned by James for going more defensive in midfield. Did it need it? I don't know. Maybe. Diego Llorente for causing anxiety attacks for Matt.
I mean, that was one of his karma games, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought he was
making an arse tackle in the penalty area.
The lunging arse tackle. Yeah, yeah, we've got a winner there.
I mean, it's really Gallagher or Zaha, isn't it?
Yeah.
Zaha's definitely seems to upset more people.
I think we should share it between them, because I think that would upset Zaha as well, that he didn't win it because he's got an entitled face.
I was going to say, I don't want to give it to Zaha because he would take that sort of acclaim.
Yeah,
but then I don't really want to give it to Gallagher because he's Chelsea, so make him share it.
It'd upset Palace fans more if it was Zaha, because he's their golden boy who, despite the fact he's desperate to leave and has been throughout his entire career, they can't hear anything bad said against. They're basically in like a bad relationship with him, where he wants out, but they're like, oh no, he loves us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stays at Palace out of loyalty, not just because, you know,
he's on a massive wage.
Just because no one's ever been willing to pay 80 million for him.
For a sulky twat.
Because he's a baby.
Should we give it to them both?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Let him share it, dickheads.
Yeah, because it's going to cause conflict.
Let him have the most pathetic fight ever seen over it.
Both of them on the floor. Right, let's do the Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Awards. Nominations, please. Who has embodied the positive spirit of Gaetano Berardi this week?
Lots for Melio, which I don't think really mentioned him in propaganda, but he was our man of the match, I'd say, either him or Cooper, who's also got a lot of mention.
Has he made the highest number of saves in the Premier League this season, hasn't he, Melier? Which is not necessarily the win that we hope, but...
we've given him loads to do. Yeah. Well done. Well done, us. Yeah, basically everyone just nominating him for being good.
Yeah, and Philip, who is the top nomination on the sheet here, talks about his unflappability and the fact that he looks unfazed with it all, even though he's got Llorente in front of him.
I was going to say, compare him to Llorente. Mm. I mean, Melier has had a very stressful season, given the amount of saves he's had to make, but he does manage to keep his cool.
Philip also does like Dan James for being a little scumbastard with his booking again performance, which is true. You had two bites of the cherry there, Philip. Don't get greedy. Fears over losing Melier next summer. Yeah, whatever. What can you do? I'm feeling quite nihilistic at the minute because we've got Man City at the weekend and I can't cope with the stress anymore. So I'm bordering on a sort of tear it all down, but in a light way.
I do feel like goalkeeper is one of those positions that you think, oh, yeah, you can replace a goalkeeper though. Until you get a bad one, and then you're like, oh shit.
What have we done?
He's costing us, like when you had Rahubka and Wiedwald, who were basically costing you, and Kassir, in fact, all these people who were basically worth a goal start for the opposition every time they played, and you were like, yeah, it's probably worth getting a decent keeper, isn't it? I think it feels like one of those positions, though, if you can just get someone competent, that's mainly fine. Someone who just won't do anything stupid.
I do like the absolute brass neck of what James has suggested here and says that Melier gets his nomination for being very good, but he does still think we should sell him for £40 million plus and buy Pope for £20 million if Burnley go down. I mean, the balls to say that, given our current predicament, is wonderful. The entitlement, great stuff. Good work. Liam Cooper gets nominations. Another one, actually, because he's been very, very prominent, actually, hasn't he, in recent weeks on this award?
Yeah, single-handedly carrying us to survival in the Premier League, says LDU. Mm. But yeah, he's been class. I think he's benefiting from the slightly simpler system with Marsh, I think, because he can just do his defensive stuff and he's not quite as...
But he did look pissed off when he didn't have anybody to give the outball to against Palace.
He gave an interview to Phil Hay, didn't he, where he was saying all previous Leeds managers prior to Bielsa were kind of asking him to do the meat and potatoes of defending and just heading and making blocks. And he says, well, actually, my strength is kind of getting on the ball. But he's been very, very good since coming back, and just, I think, having a voice at the back, you sort of realise the difference he's making.
I think it doesn't leave him as exposed, the system, is it? Like defensively, there are other bodies in there. So if he slips up, there's someone else there to pick up the pieces. Whereas with Bielsa, it was often like, no one can make a mistake or they will score.
And there's a number of people actually here suggesting he deserves credit for being as composed as he is next to Diego Llorente. Mm. There's sort of an Ian Curtis dancing quality about Diego Llorente's defending at times, isn't there? Just flinging limbs. Because we always say that Moscow reminds us a bit of Ian Curtis, don't we? Because he's a bit limmy. So when he gets a couple of drinks down his neck.
Yeah, I've seen him dancing and it's very... he's a bit like... I don't know how you describe him. You know those things you get on holiday where like there's a button in the bottom and it's a string man and he kind of slumps.
Yeah.
And you release it and it stands up again. He's got a bit of that about him.
Proudly erect. Mm. Yeah. Who else gets nominations?
Ailing gets quite a few. I wasn't sure on Ailing's performance, truthfully. It was kind of funny that he got away without being booked and obviously upset.
You can't get upset. The thing is, you can't get angry at Luke Ailing because he's a lovely guy. We all know he's a lovely guy. He's fun because he's got the man bun and the ponytail and all that sort of stuff. He gets it out. He plays with a smile on his face even when he's cheating and fouling. You can't get angry at him, can you?
I thought he gave as good as he got, I thought, which was fair enough. It was a good battle. And there was a few times where he nutmegged players and things like that. Just everything else it led to just broke down immediately. But yeah, he stuck in there and it was telling that Marsh sort of went straight over to him to give him a big hug. And Luke Ayling looked absolutely exhausted and seems to go, fucking hell.
Yeah, because I suppose if Zaha's shots go in, he's probably not getting his nominations, is he? But all's well that ends well.
Yep. Calvin gets a few nominations as well. Nice to see him back, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, considering these are hero nominations, I can read verbatim the... nice to see him back, I guess. Back in the fold. Wasn't great, but at least he got through 90 minutes.
Well, that's...
Wow, what praise.
A fallow week.
I must admit, when we saw Cock warming up on about 40 minutes and getting instructions, I just thought,
he's gone again, yeah.
And he wasn't.
Thank God. Yeah.
So that was good.
Our fans countering the sky axis of evil, John P. How do you say that? Is it Glenn Rothers?
Glenn Roth?
Roth. Okay. Sean, move somewhere else. And Aidan as well, saying they didn't stop singing for 90 minutes and they had it out with Sky as well. Sky TV is not very good, as they were singing. Mm-hmm. About 10 minutes into the game, did us proud, considering the late change in their fixture. So well done. Yeah,
I'm really enjoying Adsham's nomination for Dan James for Highlight was the little scum bastard flying out of the underground like a wild boar and clattering wood.
He does charge around, doesn't he? Like a pig that's been disturbed in a forest.
I think it's because his head does sort of bob as well when he gets really going.
Sniffling around in the undergrowth trying to find truffles, and then along comes Joel Ward.
So he's minding his own business.
Charges at him.
He had to lay his hands on him. Who knows what will happen to Dan James in the next game, having had Joel Ward's hands on him. May have improved him. Yes. Who knows?
Yeah, Ben just says, sums it up well by saying, Dan James, I love the little scum bastard. What a challenge that was. It was a great tackle on Ward, as Andrew said. Some other outlying nominations. Everton get nominated by Scott Oates.
Just for losing, basically.
Yeah, well done.
Fair enough.
And from that same game as well, Alisson Becker, the keeper, Liverpool.
That was very good.
Very, very fun. Because when I was watching that, I hadn't seen the first half, as I was mentioning before, because I was out doing my practice walk. But I caught the second half of that game. And I thought, what's he done that for? And then it was mentioned in the commentary, wasn't it? I was like, ah, very, very good.
Needs more of that.
Yeah. What, shithousing?
Yeah, and fairly harmless, funny. It's fine. I don't mind it when Canos is dancing in front of the cop, you sort of think, oh, not bad or whatever. But this year I quite enjoyed Trent Alexander-Arnold having had "You Just a Shit Kyle Walker" sung at him. Then I think he put a cross in and they scored from it, and he just did a little tap of the ear. And you start to think, yeah, fair enough.
It is nice, players acknowledging it, and players acknowledging other players as well. It's very nice.
And the fact that at a transactional level, we know he's very good, and we're just poking a bit of fun at him.
Yeah.
And then he can just go like that, and everyone's happy.
And Pickford in the first half was making a joke of it, essentially, that he was, because it was one of the, he basically, every time he caught the ball, wherever he was, he would then fall to his knees, then fall to his onto his stomach with it, and lay there for a bit. And he was... sort of winking at people and whatever.
Yeah, he gave it the wink, didn't he? Which is where Alisson, I think, made a note of that.
Excellent. Vieira's gut. And Roger says,
"Well,
again, we're going for low hanging fruit. We picked out Frank Lampard's hair before. Our mean listeners did.
Piling it on, yeah. Well,
I mean, how old is Patrick Vieira? Let me just have a look at this. Read some of the other nominations while I just look at his age.
It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult as you get older.
No.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Vieira is still probably in better shape than me, so I'm not gonna criticise him too much. But saying that, Frank Lampard's hair's in better shape than mine. But it won't stop me criticising him.
He is 45, is Vieira. He'll be 46 in a couple of months' time.
Christ, I'll be absolutely on the scrap heap by 46.
So he's a couple of years older than me, which gives me hope.
Also, speaking of Lampard's hair, described as a theoretical haired character.
What, sorry?
Theoretical head. It's reached that level.
Theoretical head.
Which is good. Have we already nominated Llorente for his bum tackle? Outstanding. Needs more of them.
Yeah. Dear me.
I think Ian Paveda needs a nomination. He's back from injury, playing for Blackburn, and also he posted a photo to his Instagram over the weekend.
What? What a nerd.
We don't have long enough in this show to dissect that photograph, but it's absolutely amazing. You need to go look at it.
I've written about it for the blog, which will be up by the time this podcast is up.
Perfect.
I've been absolutely fascinated by it and can't stop thinking about it.
Also, check out the website, thesquareball.net, for that then. And he's looking at a massive painting of himself.
Yeah.
Gazing at it.
And the painting seems to have his own lampshade painting into it.
Yeah, so he's got a very large, it's sort of a circular, bejeweled
thing. It's a very footballery light.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing that you might see in a shop almost, you know, like a decorative lamp kind of thing. Circular, lots of lights in the middle of it, but it's got kind of decorative, not jewels, but like almost like long crystal type appearance about it. And bizarrely, there's one of those floating over his head. It's supposed to look like a halo, I think, but it's off centre.
The whole thing's weird. I mean, it looks like
a parody.
It's not far off a life-size picture of himself, is it?
He's bigger than him, probably. I mean, I do...
Make me look like a giant.
I do love Ian Paveda. It's going back to the Zaha thing where he's always miserable. Paveda makes being a footballer look as great as you always hoped it would.
Yeah. Look at all this money I've got. I can buy daft stuff like a big painting of myself. Yeah. I mean, would you do that? Would you commission a painting of yourself if you had like tens of thousands in your bank every month?
No.
No.
Would you? When I bought my house... The people who we bought it off, he did have an oil painting of himself.
Wow. With a family always.
Just him.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but the man of the house had a painting of himself on the wall.
I would love to hear it from anybody who has that. We're not talking like a family portrait or a nice photograph where you look, you know, proudly sat against one of those generic backdrops that they do, because that's understandable. But to commission a painting of yourself.
And just yourself.
Yeah.
Not of your kids.
Why do you need to, what is it that you get out of seeing that every day?
What's the backdrop of Paveda's picture? It's outside, isn't it?
It's a city, yeah. I don't know if it's London. It's not Blackburn.
No.
But yeah, I think it's London.
I'm fascinated by
it. I mean, he's since deleted it from his Instagram, which I think is because he tagged the wrong designer in it. Because, a completely different account has tagged him into the photo.
Classic.
And the one he thanked.
Right, yeah. So love for Dan James for getting stuck in. Love for Bielsa. That's not going to happen.
Pineda also did play football again.
Not going to come back. So yeah, Bielsa has been nominated, but it's a lone nomination. It feels sad. It feels lonely. Please come back. No, it's gone, hasn't it? It's over.
He's not coming back.
Maybe we'll go see him one day. We'll have a nice time. But right now is not the time for that discussion, is it? I think that's everybody. Who's your hero of the week?
I feel like if Cooper and Ayling both won it in recent weeks. I feel like Ayling won it after the Wolves game. Cooper probably won it after Watford or something.
Or Southampton, maybe. I don't know.
Is it Melier this week then?
Melier's probably due it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the most significant, I think, in terms of his contribution to the game.
Keepers get credit for clean sheets as well, don't they? It's what goes against their name, isn't it?
And a massive honourable mention as well for the fans for flying the flag and all that.
And who've been fucked over as well by Sky moving it at the last minute to a Monday night, which is hugely inconvenient.
But Melier, actually, Jesse Marsh did say in the post-match, the positives we take from it, 2 clean sheets on the bounce, and that is in the hands, literally, of Ilan Melier. So, yeah. Hero of the week?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Good stuff. Well, there you go. That wraps up the show, the weekly show for this week. We will return next week post-Manchester City. As the season rounds the final bend, which somehow feels appropriate, doesn't it? Going round the bend this season. Still looking forward to it being over?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Soon enough.
Just want a nice big sleep until it's all finished.
And then the week after it finishes, after Brentford, we're doing the big charity walk. Anything to say on that before we do head off? Just that look out for if you do know, because we know that people watch and listen to this, that there's more information coming out about what we're doing there.
Yeah, I'll be sending a big email soon with... Yeah. All information and stuff on.
Because we're doing the 92-mile walk over 4 days, raising money for Andy's Man Club and the Samaritans Mental Health Charities, walking from Gary Speed's, the street where he grew up and his first playing field in North Wales, all the way back to Leeds over 4 days. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I am as well, weirdly, even though it's going to be hard. We're all doing it, aren't we? Now Moscow's not here. But should we slate him for not taking part?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's carry on that conversation off air. In the meantime, we'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.